So you shave your head now, or you just
I shave
have
it
lost your
now.
hair?
Well, I mean, it's gone far enough that if I let it grow out, then, it's like I have a very like young face, but I have the
Yeah.
hairline of a 40-year-old. And so it's like I
Yeah,
need to
I'm
just like
40.
shave it, huh?
I'm 40.
A 40-year-old man. A
Okay.
40-year-old Caucasian man specifically.
It's
Like
such a
baby face here,
thing.
but up here, like I'm aging at the speed of white. Like it's not good.
What a day we've had. What a day. We woke up. I had like this fantastic egg sandwich
Oh.
with new yolks. They were like orange.
The new yolks.
Delicious, everyone. Just wanted to let you know what my day was doing. Welcome to tea time.
Welcome to tea time. I'm crunching on a mint. It's not an egg or a yolk, but it's crunchy and delicious.
And today we
On the
have
podcast.
a trailblazer, a history maker, a
Ooh.
fashion icon,
Yes.
a semi-newly married person who is out here in these streets doing things for the cisgender community. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Maddie Morphosis. Give
Oh my gosh.
it up!
Yay.
Welcome to the
Thank you. Thank you
show.
for that amazing intro. Oh my
No
gosh.
worries.
Referring to me as like a fashion icon, I feel like it sounds complimentary, but it depends on what icon it is. Like the icon might be a check engine light, That's also an icon. So,
Listen, you're not wrong, and
yeah.
I will leave it at
She feels
that.
like you're a fashion icon because you walked in wearing this, and Raven had the vest to this
Yeah.
jacket
She saw herself in
situation.
me
She's
for a brief moment.
literally.
Yeah.
I know you're a fashion icon because anyone that's getting on RuPaul's Drag Race
This is true.
knows how to put together two pieces of fabric.
For the most part, for allegedly.
Allegedly,
Well,
I should, yeah,
the
for
thing about
sure.
drag queens, though, is that we primarily work in very dimly lit nightclubs around a bunch of drunk people. So the bar, it's not that the bar is low, it's just that the bar is ever
Not high.
shifting. The bar is wherever you
It's
want
just
it to
top
be.
shelf bar all
Yeah, yeah.
the time. There you go.
You're straight.
Allegedly, yeah.
Okay,
Allegedly.
allegedly.
We
What
keep it
is happening
mysterious.
here? No.
Okay.
Listen, let me just.
You
What is
identify
happening
as
here?
a
What is happening here?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
No, because
I am, yeah.
here's the deal. When
Okay,
I was
she's
like,
freaking out.
I am. When I was like 5 or 6 years old,
Uh-huh.
I'd go to the hairdresser, and it was this Italian man who only did women's hair, and he blew it out. It was fantastic. And I met some other men, straight, cisgendered, doing weaves, and just in these roles that typically were for gay men, that typically were for men that identify as other. And here you are, out here in these streets, giving it up for the men that identify as cisgendered. How did this happen?
I think a lot of people, like, whenever I got on Drag Race, I thought I was just like this random, like, straight guy from Arkansas, like, frat
Yes.
guy or something. And I'm just like, let me throw on a wig. Like, oh, this is kind of fun. But, like, it was very much different than that. Whereas, like, I was in Arkansas, but I feel like maybe my frontal cortex developed earlier because I feel like I was like a 5-year-old looking at what the guys in Arkansas were doing. And I was like, what's going on? Like, why are we doing this? Like, why is everyone wearing camo and like making their voices deeper? Like, I don't know. It always felt weird to me. And I was like, clothing is like, it's fabric, it's like cloth. And I was like looking at pictures of, men from the 1700s wearing wigs and tights. And
And corsets.
I'm like, why is it? Yeah, and corsets and high heels. I was like, why is that like okay then, but not now? And like from a young age, I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't know. And because I had those mindsets, I was like, maybe I'm different from other people. And if you look up anything online about anything outside of the norm around like 2000, early 2000s or so, Ask Jeeves just tells you that you're gay or
Oh my
something, or
God, you
you're
guys remember
trans.
Ask
Oh my
Jeeves?
God.
That was ChatGPT before ChatGPT was
That's
ChatGPT was Ask
true.
Jeeves.
Yes,
I love you so much right
That's
now.
Thank you. Yeah,
wild.
I'm of a certain vintage, a little bit.
I totally forgot about Ask Jeeves. That's
Yeah.
crazy. We should ask Jeeves if Jeeves is still
Can we get Jeeves
here.
on the show?
Can we get Jeeves
Can
on
we
the
get
line really
Jeeves?
quick?
Oh
You just
my
brought me so much.
gosh.
Okay, continue. You can
Yeah.
stay.
So like I was going through this journey and I was like, oh, am I gay? Am I trans? What does it mean? Like I never felt like that attraction to men, but everything online saying like, oh, maybe you are, you're trans or you're something else, like the most progressive thing for straight men at that time was metrosexual.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. And like I don't know, like I was still wearing Walmart clothes, so I was like, I don't know if I'm that. I don't understand. You saw me on Drag Race. I don't know fashion like that. So like whenever I got older, I started exploring like places outside of my town because I grew up in a town like 1,200 people, like small town. Like,
Tiny.
yeah, the only gay people are the ones where like they move out and then they come out in secret away from everyone.
Yep.
So I was like, whenever I get you know, old enough. I'm going to move out from my hometown. I'm going to go to, like, the bigger city, the college towns, make some friends online. And I was, like, making friends online that were in and around the scene, like, you know, gay people, trans people, non-binary, or, like, androgynous at the time, because non-binary hadn't dropped yet.
No, that was, that's a new word. That's a new word, yeah.
So I, whenever I moved out, I kind of just led, like, a double life almost, where I was just trying to figure out what it meant to me. And, you know, dressing up, like, in different ways, going out to the clubs. And I wasn't doing drag per se, because at the time, like, I fully thought that I probably am going to be trans. It was me kind of soft launching, trying it out, like, is this for me? And as I started to do it, I was like, this doesn't feel like me. It feels like I'm just wearing a costume. Like, the way, like, trans women talked about being trans, I was like, this doesn't really resonate with me. And the way, like, gay men talked about men, I was like, that also doesn't resonate with me. I was like, I think I just kind of am a straight guy. Like, I'm okay with that. But I think I was just kind of stifled so much by heteronormativity that I just, like, I overcompensated. I overshot it trying to get out of that box.
I love that, though.
And, yeah, and but drag just happened to be there in the clubs I was going to. And, you know, so I'm fully, like, dressed up in guiche makeup, you know, trying to be as passing as I can, saying, I would never do drag, though. That's something else entirely. But then just watching shows, I just got ideas in my head for, like, numbers and costumes and outfits. And I was like, you know what, maybe I'll try it. You know, a friend pushed me. It's an open stage night. I was like, you know, let's just see what happens.
Creativity does not have a gender whatsoever. It does not have, that's beautiful. Okay, that's fine.
So that's not where I expected to be. It just all kind of happened.
So it really just became, it was more a performance for you then? It was just an appreciation for the
art of?
The art of it?
Like, for, like femininity and everything?
Yeah, or, drag?
I mean, even now, like, I still don't, like, 100%, like, understand, like, the thinking of it. I just kind of, like, stopped overthinking it, because I feel like what led me to it was overthinking too much. And now I'm just kind of being like, why am I so focused? Like, I feel like a lot of people really try to focus on, like, where is my box, instead of realizing that there isn't a box. Like, it's just do what you want. Land wherever you're going to land. Do what you want to do. I don't know. It's like, with drag specifically, it's just, I stopped questioning where I was going in life and making, like, you know, planned decisions, and just go wherever felt, like, comfortable, whatever felt right, whatever was fun. And it just kind of pushed me towards this, you know, because I was already dressing up, like, on film, and it's kind of like trying these different looks. Like, I was really drawn to, like, aesthetics. Like, I want to be like, I'm going to be like a, you know, a goth character this night, or like an emo person, or a cowgirl, whatever it is.
So it's, yeah, it sounds like performance art in a way.
A little bit.
A way of self-expression.
Yeah. And
creativity.
Like, mm-hmm.
What did your dad say?
Oh my. So, like, again, like I said, like, I was basically living a double life. So my family had no idea. I think my family always just assumed I was gay because of the fact that I was different than the other guys in the family, and the fact that I was so secretive about my life. And so, like, I always said that I would never tell my family unless I won, like, a national drag pageant, or if I got on something like Drag Race. Because then at that point, it's like, it's your life now. Like, you can't just...
public.
It's not a hobby. It's now, like, your life. And then I got the call for Drag Race, so I was like, oh, shit. I got to tell my dad. And they were really supportive. It was very much, like, they definitely had to do, like, some, like, learning, and, you know, it's a whole new ballpark
for
them.
You have to take away all the stereotypes and look at it for what it is. And I think, not to cut you off, but I think that's a lot of the times what stifles our thought processes in society is the stereotypes that a lot of people need to live by in order to have structure.
Yeah.
And when there's people that are living outside of those stereotypes, then it messes with religion, and it messes with, you know, what God said, in a way.
Yeah.
And then it really does create havoc, but in such a beautiful way.
Yeah.
In such a beautiful way.
I think it's also interesting that your dressing in drag and being on Drag Race was so controversial, in the sense that, you know, straight men don't do that is the idea. But straight men have been dressing in drag for years and years and years.
I think a big part of it is that there is, like the drag world in the United States particularly is, like, very specific. It has, like, such a very unique history with, like, the queer community, you know, like the ballroom scenes and pageantry and things like that. Because, like, it was a big shock. It was a lot of controversy.
Sorry, I just want to let you know that my wife just found out about Paris is Burning.
Oh, my gosh.
She had never seen it before. We did a little bit of research. I'm going to find it, and she's going to watch it. And just want to put that out there.
Literally hearing Raven and our friend, they were talking about ballroom and listening, and they were talking about the different houses. And I was thinking of Dancing with the Stars. And I was like, okay, ballroom? And I was like, okay, so all of those instructors are possibly like part of these houses that are named like Balenciaga.
Yeah.
And then finally, I said at one point, I was like, okay, so like you guys have been ballroom as in like Dancing with the Star. And they both looked at me like I was the biggest idiot in the entire world. And they were like, sit your ass down.
Time for an education.
And then I was like, I want to dance like that. That's amazing. The voguing.
Yeah.
And did you know, because I had no idea that voguing is actually named after the magazine.
Yeah, because like all the dancing they do, the original like the way they were voguing was basically like dancing in a way where like every move looked like it was a pose like for the magazine.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, you knew. He
did his research.
I know.
I will not fault you though. Again, I am from a small town in Arkansas. Like I didn't know any of this either. So I also like I was doing drag for like 5 years before I ever saw Paris is Burning. So
yeah,
you are not alone. Like,
Thank you so much.
And there's people out there that haven't seen it yet. Like please educate yourself.
Correct. Especially if you're in our community.
Yeah.
To me, watching Paris is Burning is the same as a black person not ever seeing Alex Haley's Queen. You better get on it.
Yeah.
It's like one-to-one.
Yeah.
I had no idea that that's where voguing came from. And then that entire dance world was born. And those people are so strong. The ability that they have to dance that way is incredible. I was blown away. Anyhow. Yeah.
With me doing drag, you know, in America specifically, there is such like a tide where like a lot of like drag is built around like, you know, like politics and like queer expression and femininity. And whereas like other places, like if you go to like the UK, for example, there's a lot of that there too, where they're expressing their femininity and like, you know, queerness. But there's also a large subset where it's like theater. It's still rooted in kind of that old style kind of pantomiming, things like that. And that's even like the drag that I do. It's very like, you know, characters. It's less about like femininity and expression, more like being this like character, you know, like think like Dame Edna or,
you know,
like Robin Williams back in the day. Like, so a lot of times whenever if you ever see a straight queen, it's almost always like a theater queen, unfortunately. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like whenever I got cast on Drag Race and there was like this negative pushback, it almost was exclusively like U.S. based. Because people in the Europe, they're just like, oh, yeah, we've seen this.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I find it difficult sometimes living in America for that reason. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like the Americans forget about history. Yeah. They just dismiss it altogether.
Or never knew it.
Or never knew it. And especially when we talk about America, let's like, goodbye the Mayfield and all those things.
Mayfield? You mean the Mayflower?
I didn't. My history class was crazy. You're Native American.
Yeah.
And within the Native American culture, pageantry is huge. Mm. You know, it's how big those feathers are and the dance to bring, like, it interests me that you have that blood.
Yeah.
And you are doing, quote unquote, dancing and pageantry and showing off.
Dancing is very kind.
You're right. Yeah. Well, two-stepping.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah. I scoot boots on occasion. I've been known to scoot boots. Yeah.
But you're Native American. I love that for you.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's one of those things where my family is, like, very Native. I mean, I obviously am not Native passing. Like, I don't suffer, like, that kind of discrimination. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I have cousins that, you know, they did grow up, like, on the reservation, you know. It's, like, my cousin, she got her education through the reservation over in Oklahoma and stuff. Like, everything paid for us. But I, you know, personally, like, I'm proud of, like, my family and their heritage. But I can't speak too much about, like... Okay. You know, a lot of like the Native American culture and or the experience of being like visibly Native American.
I appreciate you telling me the truth. And I also want to give it to you that it's in your blood. So I'm not surprised that you are doing the work that you're doing, because the Native American community is so talented. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've learned about the Native American community is that they believe in two-souled spirits.
Yep.
And I identify with that 1,000%. Yep. And they're in a lot of cultures. Mm-hmm. It's that expression of, it doesn't matter if you're cis or gay or bi, it doesn't matter. As long as you're contributing to the community, your talent, mm-hmm. and you're pushing through your own truth, then it's like you're helping society. Yeah. So I just wanted to bring that up because I thought it was amazing for you.
No, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I want to bring up the fact that you used to tweet free drag names.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Why did you do that? Where's what songs?
Why would he not? He can. Betty Sat Go, Glizzy McGuire.
Yeah, Glizzy McGuire. I think like my favorite drag name I ever thought of, which in hindsight, I almost wish I would have kept this name for myself. Mm-hmm. Because like Maddie Morphosis, I really like, had that name because it was like a decent enough pun that wasn't taken on social media. Yeah. You know, I was so worried about the domain. And you know. But, like, the best one I ever came up with was rock, sand, paper, scissors. And I'm like, oh wow. Like, for, like, a dumb campy that was queen, so
that's
solid.
So good. Rock, sand, paper, scissors. No.
Can you give us drag names?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. That's so scary.
Well,
a lot of these,
it.
It's like, yeah. Normally, I just, like, will think of, like, some pun, and then I'll tweet it out in the moment. On the spot. Oh, my gosh. I'm so scared.
We'll
oh
circle back.
Yeah. Because okay. I would back. Love to give myself a drag name. It's like a stripper name, you know? You pick your dog's first, or yeah, like your first
like
dog.
Like your first pet in the street you lived on or something like that.
Now, is it electric or acoustic that you go for when you pick up the guitar?
Normally, I at home, I play like acoustic. Okay. I'm very like, it's, but normally guitar is like just for me, because I don't ever want to be that the basic cringy guy at like a bonfire. Even
not a bonfire.
You know what I mean?
I know you mean
like anyway, here's Wonderwall. Like I never want to be that person. Even on Drag Race, I was like, Wonder I did not want to play guitar on Drag Race.
Why
it was
not?
Just because it was like one of the things where it's like it's a little hobby I do for myself, but I just like I'm getting all these outfits together, I'm trying to get ready for the show, and they're like, there's gonna be a talent show. And I was like, oh shit, okay, I'll do something guitar, I'll figure it out when I get there. And then I get there and they're like, it's gonna be the first episode. And I'm like, no, I'm not ready.
Welcome to Hollywood. They don't care, they want every talent exploited immediately.
I know.
Was that a dream of yours as a kid? Did you want to be in the industry?
No. So with me, again, like with my town, it was so like stifled, so small town. Like I just wanted to experience anything else in life. Mm. You know, when I was in school, I was in Future Farmers of America for the explicit purpose being that they went on the most field trips. They got out of the town.
So wait. Yeah. Future Farmers of America, are you like learning about okra?
With me particularly, I was on the poultry judging team. I judged chickens, you know, chickens, eggs, things like that.
Did you hear that I had the best egg of my life this morning?
In New York, I heard,
It was a delicious orange red oak.
Yeah. Love that.
So what does a chicken need to eat in order to give me the yolks I desire?
They just have a good balanced diet, you know. Same thing with like cats and dogs, you know, they can eat that kibble, eat whatever, as long as it's got the good nutrients, calcium.
Do you miss farming life?
No, not at all. I know way too much about chickens. Like, you can put four hens in front of me right now, and I can tell you which one is a better egg layer just by looking at the color of their feet. Like, I can, it's a skill. These are skills that I will never carry with me.
Why chickens?
They just needed people on the poultry team. And also, like, the school that I went to was so good at judging chickens. They're so good at FFA. Again, like, this is a town, graduating class of 80 people. But like,
wow.
We went to nationals. I competed at the national level for chicken judging.
For chicken feet judging, bro?
I did better at judging chickens than I did on Drag Race.
That's crazy.
Yes. I think it's one of those things where it's just like, if I can do this, I can do anything. That's a very, I think, pivotal point in my life decision I made. There's a couple of them. One of them was dropping out of Pee Wee football to do home ec. I think that's the first time where like I did something where it's like the guys might make fun of me for doing this, but then no one cared. I was like, oh, people don't really care what you do.
Oh.
Note for later. And then the other one was deciding not to go to school for chickens. Because if I did that, like the kids in my school, they went got full ride scholarships.
Wow.
Like for chickens.
They out here in
Yeah.
Wow.
And I decided, I was like, this is a good opportunity, but it's not for me. I don't want to work at Tyson my whole life.
That's the name I was trying to figure out, Tyson.
Yeah, Tyson. And so, but had I gone down, not made that decision, just like stuck with it, I'd be an upper manager at chicken or at a chicken place somewhere. Can I ask how you guys identify? Do you identify as lesbian or?
Nice.
Or?
Never said it before. Let's ask her first.
Okay.
Babes, what do you identify as?
I don't identify as a lesbian. Mm-hmm. So I think if I had to identify as something, I guess I'd be bisexual, but I find that very unsexy. So I just kind of don't.
I feel like pansexual sounds a little more sexy, you know?
Yeah, but I'm definitely not pansexual. Okay. So I...
Why does bisexual get a bad rap? Please somebody explain this to me.
It just doesn't sound good.
Yeah, I think it's like I was saying earlier about how like in the world where like everyone tries to find their little boxes, like people are trying to find like realizing that everything's a spectrum.
Yeah,
the idea like bisexual, it just sounds like there's rails put on it or something.
Yeah,
I don't know, just something. It's just like verbiage, just like words.
Yeah.
I feel.
Yeah, it just doesn't sound like a great word. But I don't really like. I don't know. I've never really thought of labeling my. Nothing feels totally correct.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of just like, oh, I like who I like.
Mm-hmm. I identify as non-binary, but I don't promote it. Mm-hmm. Like, you can call me she, you can call me they, you can call me him, you can call me whatever, you can call me that bitch. Yep. But I will never date another man or be with a man ever again in my life. That's ever, valid. Never, never, never. Mm-hmm. My wife is it.
You say you would never date another man. Do you still feel like an attraction to men, or is that gone
not
as
in
well?
A sexual way?
Okay.
Like, I am attracted to like talent and flyness and all of that, but it's never in a sexual manner.
Yeah. So you can objectively see the allure, but it doesn't. Correct. It doesn't stir within you those same feelings.
I think I see pretty where pretty is, no matter who it's on, you know, but I'm not like sexual attraction.
Yeah.
I'm going to need me a female.
Yeah.
You know.
When did you guys realize that about yourselves? I feel like I'm interviewing you on your show.
Oh, we love this.
We're coming on your podcast at another.
Yeah.
We love this. No,
you
want to
say this for your pod?
No, it's fine. Like I said, like, I mean, I deep dive on a whole bunch of stuff. So this, like, I feel like this is a very kind of broad understanding of people. So.
Oh, it's a hard question because there are moments where I can look back over my life and go, oh, was that that? Mm-hmm. But I didn't know at that time. So I think the first time I really understood, like, oh, I'm attracted to this woman, I was around the age of 19. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have a moment of pause or hesitation. I didn't question myself. I wasn't like, oh, does this mean I'm a lesbian now? Am I gay? Like, I had none of that. I just was like, oh, this is happening and I'm going to lean into it. Mm-hmm. And then I experienced that relationship and then I dated men and I never put that much thought into it other than that's the person I have my mindset on and my eyes set on and I'm going for that.
Yeah.
Like, it was really very, very simple, which was really a relief considering how complicated I know that can be. And also just how complicated so many other things were in my life and in my head that it was so nice to have that feel not pressured in those ways. The pressure, of course, then became like, are they going to like me back? And what does this mean? And, you know, I was the anxious girl in that way.
There's a type of sexual spectrum to where you don't have a sexual attraction to anyone except for the person that you're with. Mm-hmm. I know that's weird. But
oh yeah, you've told me you think this about me.
Yeah, I think that about you because we'll be in like watching TV. I'm like, do you think she's pretty? No, no, no. Him? Nah. Yeah, I mean he's cute, but me, she'll ask me. I'll be like, You know what I mean? kind of crazy. But I appreciate that in her. She knows what she likes. She's very consistent with who she wants to be with, and like stuck like glue, super glue, gorilla glue on that person when it's there until that switches clicked off, which I like. But there's a word for that type of being, and hopefully Laura can find that for me.
I don't think I'm that because we've talked about this before, and that truly is like you have no ability to feel anything towards another person other than your person, and you don't have any other form of like sexual attraction. And I do. I
do.
Well, like, I think, like, Charlie Hunnam is really attractive.
Oh, that's
you know, like,
right.
We've talked about,
she goes
about,
into
like,
her
I have,
what's it called?
Yeah.
You might be thinking of demisexual, where you have to.
It is demisexual.
Where you, like, feel like you have to have an emotional connection with someone in order to, like, feel, like, the attraction.
Yes, that's what I think it is, demisexual.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't, that isn't fully what I am. I think what you're actually speaking to more than anything is, if I am in a relationship, I don't feel the need to vocalize every person on television that I think is pretty.
I don't do that. That sounds like she's saying that I does that, and I don't do that.
See, Raven actually has like a checklist when they're watching a show of like all the cast and like gives them ratings as they go.
Yeah, like Raven and I are different in that way. Like
I just
no, you don't do it that way. But you'll grunt at certain.
I
people.
See beautiful things.
You're watching the show. You're like.
Yeah. It's a.
You're welcome.
It's a this. It's a.
Listen, if you're in the movie theater with me and you just hear someone in the back.
Yeah. Like, I'm not the type of person.
Either she saw something she likes or the popcorn's bussing.
Yeah. Like, I'm not the type of person who is going to see Sydney Sweeney in a movie and be like, God damn. I wasn't like, oh, I can't wait to see The Housemaid. Those are my girls. Like, it's just, I'm not that way.
But if Charlie Hunnam was on the screen.
No. If Charlie Hunnam was on the screen in the same way that I see stutter. Charlie Hunnam, I don't stutter because I was thinking I was going to say Tom Hardy. I was just like, there is a definite, but it's an energy thing for me. Mm-hmm. That's really what it is more than anything, because like No Wiley in the Pit, for example, is sexy because he's confident and he is self-assured and he's walking into something and he has it. And that's the same thing with any character who has that for me. So it's less about the package and more about the vessel than, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, because Michelle Rodriguez in The Fast and the Furious was the hottest thing in the world to me. Yeah. Like, I was just like, oh my God.
It's like you're very, like, drawn to, like, competence.
I'm drawn to competence, confidence.
Emotional.
Swag, emotional availability. I'm drawn.
Like Dr. House, like, that's like your.
Yes, exactly. And he knows. He knows everything. And
with the limp and everything?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I haven't watched House. I'm just saying, yes. It's a great
You've never seen House?
No, I read the pilot and watched the pilot because the pilot is one of the most brilliant pilots in the history of ever.
Just oh my God, I can't believe you've never seen House. We're literally going home to watch it right now. It's delicious.
No, I haven't seen House. But, I mean, it's like my father's all-time favorite show.
With you, it's probably different for you because you were like in like a spotlight where it's, especially like at the time that you probably figured out like your sexuality, you couldn't just.
No, she's a straight man. That's why it's different for her.
Ah. Yeah. What was it like for you?
I'm
like,
writing a book.
What was it like for you, like, whenever you figured out for yourself, like, what you were into? And then when were you able to, like, express that, like, publicly?
I've had a very long journey when it came to my sexuality. It started very, very young. And then, just skip all the details. I was very open about my sexuality within my straight relationships. And it wasn't until I met someone that I felt could take the place correctly at that time. Someone that was strong enough to go up against the enemies that were coming for me, even within my own camp. Someone that, you know, wasn't fangirl, but also had their own. Someone that just checked a lot of different boxes at that time. Did I feel comfortable enough to come out and be like, okay, this is what I want? And even within that relationship, as a great person of the LGBTQ plus community, I was morphing for years. Where do I sit on the scale? What do I look like? What feels comfortable with me? Am I femme? Am I les? Am I femme? Am I lipstick? Am I stud? Am I butch? Am I blah, 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 blah? You know what I mean? Like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
And I think that if it wasn't for the new generation and the acceptance within the Obama administration that the comfort of being out and proud in public would have never happened for me. I planned at a very young age that I was going to have a beard and buy two houses. One for my husband and one for my girlfriend.
Oh, beard is in like a partner beard.
Yeah, okay. As in a man that
like
I married.
Beard. I was like, well, this is a whole new revelation.
No, that's at home. no, I was married to a man for public. He lived in his house and he could have whoever he wanted. I can see the house now. I still see this fucking house. I would walk across and meet my wife. And then when I'd have to work, I would run across and like work. Yeah. But they knew each other. Like I had this whole elaborate plan in my head because I grew up in the time of Chaz Bono and Ellen DeGeneres, and many others that actually weren't out. But you could tell because we all had similar spirits. So it's been a journey. And thank God for Miranda. You know, when we met and first started talking, it felt like a new version of me that really popped out, that felt more comfortable, that I could sustain. Because I was jumping from, I'm not going to get into that, I was jumping from like style to style.
Yeah.
Speaking of style to style, you used to have long hair?
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
We don't have to dig up my trauma about long.
Why not?
So I had like long hair. Like I'm bald now. Honestly, it made me a blessing. Oh, no, not the picture. Oh, no. Okay, honestly, no, I'm not ashamed because I feel like this is the ultimate message of it gets better. Like, it does get better.
Hashtag it gets better.
Yeah, I think you're such a cutie.
I got by, but
You make me want to scream, El me, oh my, you're already
Where are you? Yeah.
It makes me want to scream that.
No, the only reason I had long hair, my dad had long hair. Again, he's like native and he's like, you know, he's tall, dark, great cheekbones, the long, dark hair, great hairline. And so I grew up hair because I wanted to be like my dad. Yeah, exactly. Lucky. Yeah. And I wanted to be like him. So I was growing my hair out. And like he always told me how it looked good. You know, he's a rock guy. Looks good with the long hair. And little did I know, my hairline was, I had my mom's hair. You see, it's like all straight and stringy and oily and just disgusting. And little did I know, it was just slowly receding under there. But whenever you have long hair like that, it just is covered up. So it made it where it allowed me to be in denial longer than I should have been allowed to.
Well, so you shave your head now, or you
I shave it now. Well, I mean, it's gone far enough that if I let it grow out, then you know, it's like I have a very like young face, but I have the hairline of a 40-year-old. And so it's like, I need to like shave it, huh?
I'm 40.
A 40-year-old man.
Okay.
A 40-year-old Caucasian man, specifically.
It's like, such
baby
a
face
thing.
Here, but up here, like, I'm aging at the speed of white. Like, it's not good.
It's such a thing, and I've talked about this so many times in the podcast, but I'm losing my hair, which is why I feel like I can be like, oh, tell me about your hairline, because I'm there suffering alongside you. Yes. It's
you're like fellow bald.
Yeah, it's so traumatic, especially as a female presenting human. It's just not fun to lose your hair at all. And I have such insane hair envy.
Yeah.
Like, I look at people who have men, women, I don't care, who have fantastic hairlines. Like, I kid you not, the other day we were at the car wash. Mm-hmm. This is really an intense story, but this man sits down next to me.
Oh, he loved him some hair. Huh?
And he was a Vietnam vet. He ended up crying. He was very deaf. Like, it was a whole situation.
Car wash.
But yeah, it was a lot. Wash. I was like, and literally I was like, sir, I have so much work to do that I thought I was going to be doing during this time. But now I'm spending 45 minutes talking to you.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service. It was actually a very lovely interaction. Yeah. I can't, whatever.
Yeah, but.
But. As he was talking to me the entire time, I was looking at his hair.
Uh-huh.
And he was wearing a baseball cap, but he had so much thick hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, for a 70-plus-year-old man.
With trauma,
you have, I really wanted to be like, Joe, you have great hair, man. Like, you should be really, I know you're crying about what happened to you in Vietnam,
but your like, hair is great.
You have amazing hair.
Yeah, I don't mean to cut you off, but that hairline is insane.
He wouldn't have heard me anyway, because I swear to God, we were sitting this close and he would just come close. He'd put his entire ear in my face with the hearing aid in it and he'd tap it for me to say it again. So
he also thought that we were siblings.
At one point.
See it.
We've been together that long, we start to look alike.
He thought that we were related for a second, and then he asked me again, and I was like, no, we're married. And he was like, oh, I'm okay with that. And I was like, great.
He said that.
Yeah. And then he asked me to take my glasses off so he could see my whole face because he thought I was so pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no. And then he was like, okay. It was very...
I ask why you're losing so much hair?
Sure, because of my dad. So if you're planning on having kids...
Oh, he fight you.
No, he gave me his genetics.
Ah.
Which takes me back to what you were saying about being like a white man, mm-hmm. 40 hairline.
Yeah, yeah.
And our mom has amazing hair. Full, thick head of hair.
Some people just get lucky. It's just like, damn.
They do.
I sometimes I wonder, like, I feel like a lot of me, like, venturing out and trying to learn about myself, I think a lot of that did stem from me being so insecure, like in high school.
Yeah.
Where it's like I didn't feel comfortable with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I wonder, like, if I had a good hairline, where would I be today? I might have just like actually like not gotten rejected by whoever I asked out in high school. I'd still be living in that small town. Yeah. I'd be an upper management at Tyson.
All with the chickens.
Happily married to some woman that
that you literally sew her clothes.
Yeah.
Do you think that if you worked at Tyson that you would have the chicken ick for forever?
Chicken ick. I mean,
it's such a real ick.
What do you mean by the chicken
ick? Okay, so I used to eat 4 whole rotisserie chickens a week.
Oh my gosh.
And I
That's why your hair's falling out, all the GMOs. So many chickens.
I would try and get good ones, but for like non-GMO. I was obsessed and I gave myself the chicken ick. I haven't been able to eat chicken for like 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
And what I mean by that is you are just fully, thoroughly repulsed by chicken.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe if I ate that much chicken, I might have. I mean, my uncle, he worked at like a hatchery for Tyson. So he always came home smelling like chicken poop. You know, it's where they hatch the chickens.
Yeah.
And it just always smelled like chicken poop. And when I was at their house, I liked chicken a little bit less as a result. You know, that association of like, it always smells like chicken shit. This is, you definitely don't want to eat chicken with that in the air. So maybe if I was around chickens more often, it also would have, baked that in me.
Yeah.
Is it true that they kill the male chickens when the babies hatch?
So, well, it depends, because a lot of times with a farm, if you want to, like, you birth more chickens, mm-hmm. you really only need, like, one boy chicken and a bunch of hens. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times, like, if you're trying to specifically grow chickens, this is, people are watching this, and they, like, they have no interest in chickens, but you're going to learn today.
They can go sit down.
You're going to learn today.
Go ask Jeeves, okay? Yeah.
Because like if you're growing them specifically for like mating, you want to have a bunch of girl chickens and a few boy chickens. Mm-hmm. So if they're doing that, they'll probably throw them away. But a lot of times too, like depending on how the farm works, if they have boy chickens, they'll send those off to be made into like meat chickens. Mm. Most of the chickens that you eat are boy chickens.
That's interesting. Yeah. What's your thought on turkeys?
Turkeys?
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest fan of turkey, and they're terrible egg layers. They're not good at it.
I've never even heard of a turkey egg.
No shade? Yeah, because they're not good at it. Same with, like, duck eggs. Like, there's not very many of them because they're not that good. Chickens are just insane. They're so good at laying eggs.
They are.
Wait, they're ducks aren't good? Duck eggs are good?
The eggs are good, but they just don't lay eggs that often. Oh. Chickens, as long as you feed chickens, they'll lay an egg a day. They're crazy. They're insane.
Wow.
Yeah. Quail. I can get into the whole science behind that, but it's not fascinating. It's
I'm
very
fascinated.
Have you ever worked with a goat?
A goat?
Yeah.
Don't not professionally.
Let me tell you right now. No? Be careful about this line of questioning. Just be careful.
Wait. I just really want a goat.
Maddie.
A goat?
Yeah.
Be careful.
I'm pro goat. I'm pro goat. I've met some goats in my time. Not worked with them professionally, but they've all been.
Ask her why.
They seem very fun.
Ask her why.
Oh, why are they interested in goats? Why do you ask?
I want a goat because I want its milk.
The milk? Mm-hmm. I've never had goat milk before. I had a goat cheese. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know how prolific they create milk. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And based off of the experience that I've had, I'm thinking maybe it's less prolific because mm-hmm. one of the my favorite things in the world used to be goat colostrum. And
colostrum.
Who is she? She's the first milk. It is the most nutrient-dense milk. Humans make colostrum, cows make colostrum, goats make it. And it's the first milk that is intended for your newborn. And the reason being is it builds the immune system of the baby.
Oh, because it has, like, all the bacteria and stuff that it needs.
Exactly. And it's highly mineral-rich. And it's usually
it's the starter
thick.
Milk. Yeah.
It has a more yellowy hue. And people will say, even if you don't want to breastfeed your baby, at least pump your colostrum and give that to them because it just really sets their microbiome up for success, blah, blah, blah. Anyhow, people started taking goat and cow colostrum as a supplement because it's really good for healing your gut. It's really good for your immune system. And I don't really love the dairy that much. Mm-hmm. And so I found this goat milk colostrum supplement that for the last 4 years, and as somebody who has had so many gut issues, I swear to God, once I started using this product, I was like, oh my gosh, I felt healing in my stomach. I don't know how else to describe it. It was
same
just
way I feel
all of a
kefir.
Sudden. Yeah.
You felt the mother's love from that goat.
Literally, I did.
That's what you've been missing.
I felt the mother's love, and I was like, this warmth and this settling in my stomach. And all of a sudden, my digestion started getting better. I wasn't bloating. Like, I felt like my skin was looking better. I was like, this is amazing. The company changed the formula.
Mm. Maddie, you opened a worm. You opened a worm box.
Maddie. And, well, did Maddie or did I? Because I asked him. Anyhow, they changed the formula. It is no longer the same. It tastes horrible now. Gosh.
They added protein powder to it.
Yes, goat protein, which, by the way, it
goat-tine?
Tastes...
They put goat-tine in the
they
milk.
They put goat-tine in it.
It tastes fucking foul.
Ugh.
And so...
There's no love. They took the love out.
They took the love out, and I have been trying other colostrums, and I was like, fuck it, this is all disgusting. I need a goat.
So that's what she asked me for
Valentine's
Day.
So we can milk it, and then somehow
you can
get
feel
the
that
colostrum.
Love again.
Have you ever been addicted to something, and then it goes away? That's the real question.
You didn't have to go to rehab. It just
The market made me go cold turkey. No,
exactly.
I don't know. I've never been like a really obsessive like personality. I remember talking to someone the other day about this. It's like in a similar vein, like celebrities. Like I'm a Lady Gaga fan. I've never been a Little Monster. You know, like these celebrities. I've never been like a stan of something. I've always just been like I enjoy something. But I don't know. Something I've obsessed over and it went away.
So you don't have OCD.
No, I guess not.
Cool.
Congratulations.
I think I'm chemically balanced. I don't know.
Good for you.
How rare. Well, we rarely meet.
I could be wrong.
People like you.
Yeah.
So you have no mental illness.
Not well. It depends on who you ask. Like, yeah. Like Fox News probably says I do, but
they do too.
Yeah.
Takes one to know one.
Yeah. That's so lucky.
I suffer from Trump derangement syndrome, actually, the TDS that they talk about. I suffer from that. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I suffer
from that. How did you feel about that tweet that he tweeted after the Super Bowl when he clearly watched it?
I just love how much they want to hate on everything, but then, like, you could not watch Bad Bunny, though. You could not. You had to. I know, like, when Trump wasn't looking, he's just in there like, oh, VIP, oh, VIP. Hey.
Hilarious.
He's very like, everyone get out, close the doors. Doing his Trump dance, like, VIP, VIP.
He's been doing that since 1927.
So, on tea time.
Yes.
We always go into our teapot and pull out a topic.
Oh, gosh.
Are you ready for it?
I'm kind of scared of this.
Don't be scared.
Look into the cup. Wait, is there only one thing in here?
That's no, all... there's so many things,
oh, wait, oh,
Maddie.
There's so many options. There's... Which one do I choose?
Yeah, it's fucking
the
random.
One that speaks to your soul.
It says, do you wear wigs? Do you wear wigs?
Okay, says, today in tea time, what are we talking about?
Talking about Community.
As a community.
I haven't seen that show yet. I don't know how much I can talk about it. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, I love that you went to show, and this is why we love tea time.
What do you watch? I feel like all the shows we talk about, you haven't seen all the movies and shows and stuff.
I watch Landman. I watch Seeking Sister Wives. We're rewatching From because season 4 is coming out.
Speaking of chickens.
Mayor of Easttown is one of my favorite shows. What else do we watch? We watch a lot of YouTube.
There's like I feel like there's a through line between these shows you like. They're all kind of like kind of westerny.
Very dark.
Yeah.
Very dark, moody, emotional.
Mm-hmm. But I also, I mean, I'm not one, like, I loved Parks and Rec. I mean, that's funny.
We don't watch a lot of comedies in the house.
Mm-mm.
We really don't. We have very a different sense household of comedy. We tried Shrinking for a little bit.
But we both kind of watch and get bored at the same time, luckily. Like, because with Shrinking, we loved the first season, but then we both watched, like, an episode of the second season, and we were like, okay, we're good, we're done.
Like, I got it.
Yeah, moving on.
You like a good pee-pee poo-poo joke, don't you? Yeah.
I'm a dude. I'm down for whatever.
Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah, brother.
Yeah, you too. Okay. Yeah, dude, that's not so much my humor.
Yeah.
At all.
There's a community of comedians that we will get in touch with that we will not get in touch with. But I think when you pull out the word community, I go to the people that you choose to be surrounded by in order to make yourself not feel weird anymore.
Yeah.
yeah, like, where do you find community?
Honestly... like within like the scene, like people that are in and around, cause like with the queer community, like a lot of people, they ask me like every time I do interviews and stuff, they're like, what's it like being a straight person around gay people? And it's like I'm being around open-minded people. Like I don't view the queer community as like a bunch of gay people. Like I'm the straight person. I'm the token friend of a bunch of queer people. Like I get along with these people cause they're open-minded people. Like I don't have a lot of straight friends, and the few straight friends that I do have are like very open-minded. And because, you know, because my viewpoint is like, I feel like queer is not necessarily like gay. I feel like being queer is being like honest with like yourself and open with yourself. Like most people, I think there's some people out there that are straight that I would argue are queer in the sense of like they've kind of shed like the labels and the expectations. And I think a lot of people can learn from the queer community about, you know, acceptance and expression and like being yourself and just accepting others for who they are.
But what you're doing actually is taking away the sexual nature of what the community is being looked at by traditional straight or heteronormative people and taking it for what it actually is, which is, like you said, a person that's in touch with self, with their humanity, with the different vibes that go in and out, whether it's your femininity, your masculinity, or your not bipolar, non-binary nitty. And that's the beauty that is when you do have quote unquote, and I'll use the words in terms that people understand, allies, because just because we are LGBTQIXAZ doesn't mean that we're all about just the sex of what's going on with us.
Yeah.
And that's what we're whittled down to most of the time. And I think it's also very disrupting because there's talent, there's genius, there's emotion and empathy that is in the community that the heterosexual world could benefit from if you stopped whittling us down to just what we do in bed.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah. Because I've been in the scene for years. I've been doing drag for almost like 10 years now. I've been in the scene, in around the bar. I've been going to like the bar specifically, like, you know, like queer bars and clubs since I was like 18 or so. Mm. And sex has really ever played a factor into any of this. You know, like I go out there, like I meet people I know, I have friends, we talk about things, and going out there, like I learned a lot about myself. You know, it's like, you know, I tell people, you know, like I'm an ally, I support the community, mm-hmm. but I feel like for me, like it's deeper than allyship. It's like I am a part, not necessarily of the queer community, like, but of these people's lives, and they're a part of mine. Yeah. It's, you know, I go out there, I have connection, I learned a lot about other people, I've learned other people's perspectives, I learned a lot about myself. And even if it's things that don't apply to me, like I've learned about other perspectives and what other things could be and what it means to other people. And even on the show with you talking to you, you know, it's like, I didn't know like your story. And like, I think people are so fascinating. Mm. And, you know, even like some random straight people out there, like your story is like very fascinating. Like, why do you
some
feel
of
that
you.
Way?
Some of you.
Yeah, some of you. Not, so, yeah,
just
some
speak
of
for
you.
Yourself, Sarah. Some of you. I'm just playing. I'm as with you.
But I feel the same way as you. I really like learning about people. It's why I enjoy podcasting, having conversations. Mm-hmm. And I really am curious about all people, whether I agree with them or disagree with them, understand them, don't understand them. I love to know what makes people tick, what their perspective is on the world. Some of it will resonate with me, other bits of it won't, but all of it I find is information and helps better shape my person, because I feel like the more we can understand each other's perspectives, mm-hmm. then the more empathy and the more ability you have to navigate the world. Yeah. And that is something that I find endlessly fascinating. And I just think it's so cool to learn what also we want to build more of mm-hmm. in our circles, because I think that having community is really important. Having community that uplifts you and is similar to you is really important, just as much as having community that challenges you or is different than you is important. And then from both of those things, you can kind of assess who you want to gravitate towards. Like I think about, you know, friendship circles and who are you choosing to spend your energy with? What is your partner like? You know, like
what is your partner like?
Yeah.
I tell people all the time that she's smart for a living, so I can be dumb for a living. Mm. Like I you know, do sock puppets and wear dresses and do whatever. She's like going to school to be like a doctor, like neuropsychology. Like
balance.
She's amazing. She's really cool.
Does she have her community, and do you everybody can live in multiple communities. How many communities do you guys kind of dip into, do you think?
Oh my gosh, let me pull out the spreadsheet. no, we actually met each other at the same, like in the same community. You know, she was someone that was like, also came and grew up in a very like sheltered, you know, Catholic family, small town, and moved to like the same city that I went to like college for. And we met at the bar, and you know, she was, you know, fresh out trying to learn more about herself and like her sexuality. You know, she's bisexual and she was making friends in the gay scene. It was around the time that I had already established myself and I kind of was a fixture at this bar in Arkansas, and we met there. And, you know, she's, you know, a lot of people ask me, they're like, is it hard like doing drag and dating as like a straight man? I was like, no, I think most women actually, I think their shoulders let down. They feel a sigh of relief when there's a guy that isn't, you know, doing this weird impression of a man. Mm-hmm. So, no, we met in that scene, and, you know, she's been with me and supporting me through, like, all this stuff for the past, like, 9-10 years almost.
Beautiful.
So, yeah.
Oh, I love that for you. Babes, how many communities do you think you dip your toe into?
When you say how many communities, what do you mean by that?
Like, I feel like I'm in the gay community, I'm in the black community, I'm in the, you know, woman who also feels dudish community, but not necessarily talking about their sexuality. I feel like I'm in an art community. I feel like that art community encompasses like music and things of that nature. Just those groups of people that you might invite to your party, but not all of them would sit in the same section. Yeah. They would kind of...
So you'll bounce around to the tables, but they're kind of in their own like little
They're in their own
stuff.
Bubbles. And I feel like each one I need to service me.
And that's exactly how she separated all the communities at her birthday party.
Yeah.
She had all
like the wedding, like Eric sit over here, like Mimo sits over here, all like the artists sit over here.
Yeah.
Don't mingle.
No mingling.
Yeah. No mingling.
Yeah, no mingling.
I think when it comes to my communities, there's definitely like my skincare girly communities. Then there's like my white people community. Then there's my black people community. Then my lesbian community.
That she's bi in.
My...
I would say your neurodivergent community.
My neurodivergent... But I'm not connected to anybody in that. Like, I have no other... I don't have another neurodivergent friend or anyone that I'm, like, readily talking to in that space.
Your goat love community, goat lovers, goat love, not goat lovers, goat lovees.
That's crazy though. If you took that out of context, just like the goat lovers.
Yeah.
Please listen to the front part of this
podcast. Run that back.
Don't clip this. No, but I would love to be part of that community.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah, I got the jackets. I'm definitely in like the drag community. That is like 100%. Like I'm in that. If I'm at a bar somewhere, like I'm always drawn to like the other queens, and like there's like a shared understanding of like everything with like drag queens. Mm-hmm. It's even separate from like I think the queer community in a sense, because drag queens very much are like their own like specific niche group. They have their own like knowledge and things, and they kind of like flock to each other.
But then like I'm the also Baptist like of the church groups.
Yeah. I think it's more like the choir group within the church. The queer community is like a church, and the drag queens are the choir.
They're part
of the church, but they're also kind of their own thing. They talk about choir stuff, and you know, they're fighting for parts. And, yeah.
Good one.
I definitely feel like I'm part of that. But I also feel like, you know, like people wouldn't necessarily. People debate whether or not they would consider me queer because of, you know, being gender nonconforming, but I'm still in like a straight guy. But like I'm not gonna say that like I'm a part of the queer community, but I'm definitely within that community, and like I love people that are a part of it. So whether you wanna say I'm a part of it, if you say I'm an ally, like I will accept it. But like I'm there supporting, I'm putting money in the church, you know.
The basket.
Mm-hmm,
without a doubt.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely like those communities. Outside of that, I don't know what other communities.
Mm.
It's kind of like a lot of my life builds around. There's like a YouTuber community, a lot of creators. Mm. I mean, a lot of people lately that are like specifically like influencers and creators. But even then, like a lot of them are still overlapping around like the queer community. I really don't know a lot of straight people anymore.
Good for you. I just want to reach out to everybody that's watching. I mean, a lot of times I feel like people feel like they need to be put in a box, and they only can really sit in one community, and that's who I am, and I can't divvy out. But I think it even shows right now how important it is to go out and explore different communities, see where you fit, and then know that just because you might fit in a different community doesn't mean that you should ostracize another one or go see if you fit into another one. So go out there and explore, and know that we are all multi-layered humans, and we deserve the right to fit in all kinds of communities.
I totally agree. And we learn through contrast. So by exploring and figuring out what works or doesn't work, or what you feel good in or what you don't, again, I think comes kind of back to what I was saying earlier, where you become a more holistic version of yourself.
Yeah.
And to learn about yourself is to be alive, I think. So I think it's a wonderful thing, like you're saying, to get to explore. And another community we're all a part of is the podcast community.
Yeah, it's true.
You can't forget that community. I love the podcasting world of community.
There's a bunch of long-winded people.
Yeah.
We think too highly of our opinions. Like, people need to hear what I got to say.
They do.
They really do. I'm about to crack some new yolks out here.
Me!
Very orange. Very orange indeed.
Yeah. I think we're all more alike than we are different. And I think people can learn a lot. Like, you don't have to go put on a dress and go do a drag show. But I think, you know, if you're out there, you're like a random straight person watching the show, whatever, like, talk to some people that have different viewpoints than you, that are different lives than you. You have way more in common. You'll have things to talk about, and they'll open your eyes up to like some different things.
Yeah.
You don't have to wear a wig, though. You don't have to. It's optional. I implore you to. It's fun. It's a good time. But you don't have to.
Fix that hairline.
Yeah.
It is interesting to me that, well, it's not really interesting. I guess it's more sad at how many people or how much we can struggle to find community and how... Like, I remember at a time in my life feeling really just like I couldn't find my people. I didn't know where they were, where to look. And someone was like, well, go on Facebook and like go into a Facebook meetup. And I was like, that just sounds horrible. Like, I don't want to do that at all. Yeah. You know, it sounds like just you're kicking me while I'm down. But it is hard to find community sometimes, depending upon where you are or what you're going through. And I wonder if either of you have thoughts on how to find community for those who may be struggling, like what the tip would be.
I think the hardest part is just putting yourself out there to people. Like for me, when I first started going out to the bars, you know, I'm trying to express myself and learn about myself and talk to people. But my biggest thing is I was so shy and so scared to talk to people. I would literally go to the bar, get myself a couple Long Islands to get myself like tipsy enough to where, like, I can talk to a stranger. Mm-hmm. And I would literally just walk up to, like, a little group of people, and I would just be like, hey, like, I'm so-and-so, like, I don't know a lot of people here. You guys seem cool. Can I hang with you? And, like, they would talk. Oh. And, like, a lot of times it's they'll say yes. It might be different some places. Like, if you go to a bar in WeHo, they might not be as, like, welcoming. But, you know, whatever.
Depends on what you're wearing.
Yeah. But for the most part, like, if you talk to enough people, like, they'll talk to you back. They'll introduce you to other people. And if there's something you're interested in, like, if you're into Dungeons and Dragons, find a D&D group. And, like, the hardest part is just putting yourself out there. Just do it.
Yeah.
The worst case scenario is you go there, it's not fun, or you don't feel welcome. You go home and try again another time. But be authentic to who you are. Know what you like and explore those interests. If there's something that you're into, go for it. And you'll find like-minded people that you'll bond over. If there's something you're not sure about, explore it. And if there's something that, you know, if it's something that you're not 100% sure about, but there's no consequence, no negative backfall, just try it. Just do it.
I honestly envy the people in today's world, because when I was younger, there was no Facebook. Mm-hmm. There was only a newspaper and Cleo, a newspaper, or Cleo, which is Call Me Now Psychic at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that Cleo.
I'm saying that to say,
Miss Cleo,
there are so many outlets now to find community. I'm learning. I'm a part of communities that I didn't even know existed, but they were thoughts in the back of my mind, and I find it on TikTok. I'm like, oh my God. Oh, I understand. I'm like, yo, I'm part of this one too. There is no reason whatsoever other than personal blocking yourself personally that will prevent you from finding your community.
Yeah.
Because with social media, with our TikTok, it's all about connection.
Yeah.
In solidarity, which is weird. You know what I mean? You're in your house connecting, but still you're connecting. And you brought up Facebook earlier, babes, and I know that your mother found a Facebook group and kind of went on her own journey there.
Wait, what?
I think so. Isn't she on a book club on Facebook? Didn't she go to...
No.
Oh.
No, that would have been so cool. My mom started a book club because she was going to yoga, and she got a bunch of the women from her yoga class to start a book club. Mm-hmm. And now she hosts a book club once a month at her house.
So you could be like
but
my mother
in person.
You can be like my mother-in-law and start your own group. Yeah. You know, that's what flyers are for, you guys. That's what beat to the street is.
You could have a walkathon.
Yeah. You can have a walkathon.
Well, I think that's a really good example too, because like they met up for yoga. Your mom did yoga and she met some other people. And then once she's there, they start talking and realize that they also like books. Mm-hmm. And like, if you go out and you meet people for one interest, they're going to have other interests. You know, it's like I have friends that are drag queens, but then they also like, you know, watching like Drag Race or some other shows, and they'll have little watch parties in the living room for something, or they do like little book things, or we're all going to go do hot pot because we all like hot pot.
I love hot pot.
Yeah. So it's, you know, just like broaden your horizons a little bit. The hardest part is getting out of your shell to talk to people.
Yeah.
And like you said, we're in the perfect time for it, where you can find people that have your interests. We don't have third spaces like in the 90s where you can't go to the mall and meet strangers. Like
the mall.
Even the clubs, it's like not as many people go out to the clubs. It's harder to meet people there. But with the internet and groups and, you know, like,
you there's can now, no excuse.
You, like, the people that have the same interests as you, they are out there, they are advertising, and it is open, and they will accept you with open arms for the most part.
Yeah.
I think just to play a little bit of devil's advocate, it is difficult in a way because so much of the community is also built from a space of isolation or solitude, meaning we find connection in our phones via social media and things. But I think there is this little bit of a missing link now too, where people are having a harder time bridging the gap between that and then getting into physical space and community with people. And I think that there is a different fulfillment and satisfaction that comes when you sit down and you're face to face with somebody versus just being on your phone and you're in a screen, blah, 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 blah. And this generation has a lot of access, but are they using it? Or younger generations have a lot of access, but are they using it to then actually like follow through with a meetup?
Yes and no, right? Because for instance, my bro, hi brother, love you. He's no longer here, but I always have to say that. He had friends IRL, but he was also a video gamer. And so he had a lot of friends through the headset.
Yeah.
That somebody he's never seen their face before, but they knew about each other's life from top to bottom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it really does depend on what connection means to you.
Yeah.
Like my wife, this is connection, right? Mm-hmm. For me, you could be over there in that corner on the phone, but I'm in the same room with you. I'm connected.
Yeah.
Like, there are different versions of it. And to what you're saying, yes, this generation was in a solitude state, mm-hmm. and, you know, creates their community through their followers, through the comments yeah. and that nature. Sometimes that's fulfilling. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they yeah. do bridge the gap, because yeah. there's nothing more important than physical connection or even, you yeah. know, same space connection. But I also don't want to shit on the fact that sharing your life with someone, even if you've never seen their face before, is also very important.
Oh my gosh. I mean, yeah. think about the people that you hear stories where they date online and they consider themselves in fully committed relationships, yeah. but they've never seen each other in person.
Yeah.
And there's stories of people who will be online for 5-6 years and then they're like, oh, we're just meeting in person for the first time. And it's like, yeah. whoa, how is that even possible? The connection is very real. And trust me, I understand the dependence that can come, or the connection that can come from having the routine on the phone. Texting a person back and forth can create a routine and a bond, and I get it. So they both mm-hmm. exist and both tick different boxes. Yeah. But I do think, again, like being able to touch a person, look someone yeah. in their eyes, you have a different connection here mm-hmm. than if we were like
yeah.
here.
But if I can play devil's advocate to that.
Oh, we
yeah.
love that.
Yeah.
So we all do.
Again, like I'm definitely in the camp that sometimes, like online, like even people you've never seen before, but you talk regularly, sometimes those relationships are even stronger than people you meet in person. Because, you know, I have friends that are back home where it's like we only communicate via text or send a, you know, a link or something to each other, a little message. And those friendships are stronger than some of the people I know where at the club. Where I go out to the club, you know, most weekends, and I have people that I see there every single day. Mm-hmm. Like, I know them, I know their names, I know a little bit about their lives, but we don't have, like, that strong of a connection, because it is, like, a surface level, like, a familiarity. Like, we're at the club, this is a club friendship.
In my mind, hearing you say that, because if you're talking about friends back home, mm-hmm. you probably have a foundational sense of time that you spent together growing yeah. up, experiences, mm-hmm. versus a relationship where it's just... Personally, my belief is it's really hard to make friends in a club setting.
Yeah,
because I don't know. I made some friends in a club,
and they've maintained.
Yeah. yeah.
Okay. It's, well, I mean, I'm not saying
you guys
can't
meet in a club.
Period. I met my wife in a club.
Oh, it wasn't a club.
It was a club, babe.
That wasn't a club.
You were throwing it back.
Oh,
roll the video. Play the video.
But you're right. We're all speaking to yeah. something that's higher, yeah. which is connection can happen in many different yeah. ways.
Yes.
I think a lot of people, they stress too much about, like, the nature of their friendship. I think there's a lot of people out there, they see a group of friends hanging out at the park and they're like, oh, I wish I had that. I don't have that. But then they have other friendships of someone, like, online where they share their life and secrets. And, like, that's just as valid of a friendship. 100%. And maybe you'll meet up someday. Maybe you won't, and that's okay. Like find your tribe. Find people you're interested, like, similar interests as you. Find people you have fun with. And don't stress too much. Some of the people you see hanging out, like they're having a good time, they're not even that close of friends.
Totally.
They're backstabbing each other.
And they're backstabbing each other. Or it's just like a group of people where like each one of them is a friend with someone else. And it's just like a yeah. circle. But like some of those people don't even like each other.
And that's certain. It can be totally surface yeah. level. And you don't know what creates the depth of a bond or mm-hmm. what will equal this friendship lasting forever. You know what I mean? Some people can meet and know each other for 2 days and experience something that changes them, and they are forever bonded in a way that neither of those people will ever bond with another. Like, we don't know what, there is no definition or box, I think, that we can put community, friendship, relationship, mm-hmm. importance of people in.
It all depends on the person that's experiencing it and what yeah. that person needs.
Yeah.
yeah.
And especially with the anxiety rising in this in generations now, and masks being put on and taken off, and the old high school, okay, well, what can I get from this person? And yeah. I need to be friends with this person because his dad is this, and blah, 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 blah. It's like sometimes you just need to take all that out and mm-hmm. have trust in someone. And I can understand not seeing someone's face and trusting that person, because it's just easier, i.e. The Circle, a wonderful show on Netflix back in the day.
ChatGPT therapy.
Oh, I love ChatGPT therapy. Shall we cheers to ChatGPT?
To ChatGPT therapy.
Today on the podcast,
We are toasting to a record 44 out LGBTQ plus athletes are competing at the 2026 Winter Olympics.
All right!
There were 36 out Olympians at the 2022 Winter Games, 15 in 2018 and 7 in 2014. The record 44 out athletes includes 8 on Team USA, including Amber Glenn, who will make history as the first publicly out LGBTQ plus woman's figure skater to compete in the Games. Whoa. Milan will see 22 out ice hockey players, all women, making it the sport with the most LGBTQ athletes.
The ladies got their own heated rivalry.
Wow. Yes!
Oh, good for them. Good
My
for
mom
them.
Was watching the women's hockey not too long ago.
I'm really, really proud of the Olympics. I'm really, really proud of the Super Bowl. I'm really, really proud of these staples in sports and in entertainment that is embracing communities of all kinds and showing that we are all human no matter what we what we identify as. I think it's extremely important, and to see them take the Olympics, one of the oldest staples in human history. Every 4 years we come together. Oh my God. And I'm so proud of everyone out and about, and we loved heated rivalry.
Yeah. Honestly, if you think about it, with the Olympics being more gay, that's just going back to its roots.
Yeah.
You know?
So true.
No one's talking about that.
Yeah.
Careful. Yeah. They'll go for you.
People, they're out there doing the discus naked. You know, ancient Rome, you know how they got down.
Oh, my gosh.
They'd probably do the discus and then have sex after. Yeah. Maddie, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having
me. It was a pleasure to talk with
you. Yeah.
And please let us know where we can find you, see you.
Yeah, I'm on social media at Maddie Morphosis, MaddyMorphosis.
Nice.
Question mark.
We'll put that on the front of
it.
Yeah, on all social medias. And I'm also, I've started doing streaming lately. So if you're into like video game content, you know, I'm in the video game community now.
See, that's another community.
Yeah, I'm at Maddie Morphosis on Twitch, at Maddie Morphosis Gaming on YouTube and Instagram. So something a little,
what do you
play? A little different. I'm a little all over the place right now. Like, I've been like literally all over the place. I was playing like Ark Raiders, which is like a extraction shooter.
Ooh.
And then I was playing Dispatch, like a story game. And the other day I was playing Dino Crisis.
From, wow, like, PlayStation you're everywhere.
1.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just kind of like just having fun. I'm just getting my toe wet right now.
I love that for you.
Like, toes, awesome. You know, not singular toes.
Just
plural,
one.
Plural. Just one.
Just one.
Scared of commitment, you know. Just one. Just one for now. We'll see.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Thank you so much for joining us every single time as we talk to amazing people like Maddie and many others. If you haven't seen the shows before, go through that history. Check them out because they're really cool. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and click that bell for notifications. We love you guys so much. Thank you so much for all of your support and
tea
love.
Tea time community.
Yeah. Tea time.
If you have any chicken questions, put them in the comments. I'll take care of it. I'll get you together.
Call to action.
Yes, exactly.
What's this yoke looking like?
Bye. Bye.